Hi, and welcome to this new episode. Today I'm with Eduardo Corazza, and I'm super excited to have you, Eduardo, because you are big in helping people with their health in Brazilian, and you've just started doing more content in English. We're grateful to have you today. We're going to talk mainly about weight loss, losing fat, toning up the body, and being healthy overall, doing it the healthy way, doing it in a sustainable way, and we'll share practical tips so you can, yes, stay with us and hopefully you get tons of value from today. Eduardo, thank you so much for joining. I know you have a huge following in Brazilian. I know you've been on mainly high raw vegan diet for 17 years, I think, for now, and you have a lot of amazing content on it, and you've studied really the science, so I'm excited to have you today.
My pleasure for the invitation. My pleasure also to share the knowledge I have accumulated for these last 17 years because it's my passion. It's what I love to do. I think we could heal the world with natural hygiene lifestyle. Natural hygiene is what we call the science of health. And it explained these visionaries saw a lot back then, 200 years ago. And now the science is proving everything that they saw in terms of weight loss, in terms of health, in terms of preventing disease, better cognitive function, you name it. It's all in our hands. We just have to understand the knowledge, the biochemistry behind it to use it in our favors.
Amazing. So yeah, let's get into it. Eduardo, just before, can you share like 2 3 minute background story of what got you into it and maybe your expertise on the science and helping other people?
For sure. I was a really, really sick child. And when I was 22 years of age, I was about to do two surgeries. I was really sick, diabetes, and I needed to change. I went to a lot of medical doctors, but it was no good. They didn't have what I wanted. They didn't look healthy. They were fat. They were fatter and sicker than I was. So I was like, how do we can teach me health if they don't have it? So I asked the questions, and my life, my mind brought me the answers, drove me to the answers. That was finding natural hygiene, what we call the science of health, gave me the whole perspective to understand what was going on behind the scenes. And although I went to nutrition university, like 5 years of nutrition university, I wrote 10 books. So I opened like thousands of scientific articles to just write one book, and also to create the lectures I give, like internationally and nationally. I became in love with health, with being the healthiest I could and being the most knowledge about health. So I could teach the whole world, so I could bring this message forward. So, that's pretty much the story, summing it up.
Amazing. And yeah, congratulations on that. Happy for your health. And through that journey, then you've started helping many people, right? Do you have a lot of people coming for weight loss specifically to you?
Yeah, like I run retreats and I attend patients online and in private, like a one-to-one person, right? In-person sessions. So yeah, well, like 65% of the world is actually now suffering from overweight or obesity. So, less than half of us are normal weight. And even then, some people are normal weight. They don't understand what normal weight is. Because if you take a look to epidemiology, we know that Luigi Fontana has some scientific, one scientific articles using a lot of other scientific data suggesting that if you have a higher BMI than 21, you are actually increasing your chance of morbidity and mortality from all causes, as we call in epidemiology. That means if you have higher BMI than 21, and 21 is really, really low for most people because the medical standards would be 25, you're still eutrophic. You're still in a good weight when you're 25 BMI. But if you have 25 BMI, like 99% of my patients that have 25, 24 and a half BMI, they're really overweight. You can see like the tires around the belly, the excess body fat. So the classifications of being normal weight, it's way wrong, because a lot of people that are normal weight nowadays are taking steroids and eating a lot of protein. So they have a higher weight than they should, higher than normal weight. And the people that think they have a normal weight are actually overweight, but are not classified as overweight by medical doctors because the classification is wrong. So it's tough. You're not normal if you are nor if you're in normal standards for this pathological world that we live in.
Yeah, makes sense. And what are the best recipes that have worked for you and your clients for helping them losing fat in a healthy way and sustainable?
Disease and health is multifactorial. It's not just one thing. If people think of when they want to lose weight, they just think about diets. But like, for example, if you're being exposed to dioxins that are like petrochemicals in your diet and lifestyle, you have an increase of because these dioxins, they act like estrogen, they mimic estrogen. So they are xenoestrogen, as we call it. They are like a fake estrogen that they bind to the receptors. So they block the androgen receptors and they act as estrogen. So estrogen, we know that is a accumulation, accumulation hormone. Like it makes you, take it easy on my English to Portuguese translations at the same time I create my line of thoughts. But estrogen is, that's why women have more body fat than men, and men have more muscles and more ribs because we have higher testosterone. So these, petrochemicals that we use in our daily living, like shampoos, dishwasher, soap for washing dishes and things like that, they all have a lot of petrochemicals in them. So when they get in contact with our skin, we can smell them, they can get inside of us through many ways, even diets. So they raise our estrogen levels, and that is pro-obeso, it is obesogenic in English, obesogenic. So it's causing obesity just because of these petrochemicals inside of us. So it doesn't have anything to do with diet. We have research on mice. Like if you expose a mice, like a female mice, before she's pregnant, to 2 TEQ PPT. That means two toxin equivalent parts per trillion. It's like dripping like a small water drip, a small water drip in a pool, in a huge swimming pool. It's like so small quantity of toxins, but they are actually causing epigenetical changes, what we call transgenerational epigenetic changes, that is actually changing her son when she becomes pregnant. She actually sends a message to her son. So he's more into an obesogenic profile when he's an adult. So they make two different families of mice. Like one female that was exposed to these obesogenic compounds, and the other wasn't. They eat isocaloric, their sons eat isocaloric diets. That means their sons in the later life, when they're adults, they will eat the same food, the same amounts. But the son that was from the mother that was exposed to these obesogenic compounds, he's heavier. He's more obese than the other just because of his mother being exposed to petrochemicals. And we're exposed to petrochemicals the whole day. Everything in the houses are petrochemicals, from the paint in the walls, from our laptops, from our cell phones, from our the can of the food that we eat. It's all petrochemicals everywhere. So the obesogenic the crisis of obesity, the pandemic of obesity that we are in now, it's actually not just because of food. It's from every point of our lifestyle, the lack of sunshine, the lack of nature, the lack of the lights, the blue lights at nights. Everything causes obesity nowadays, and people don't realize it. That's why one of the reasons that they cannot get thin, because they're just looking to diets, right?
Amazing. Thanks for sharing. And do you have practical tips there? I mean, obviously you can wear, like, I don't know, blue light blockers for the blue light, and you can avoid everything in cans and avoid non-natural, like, shampoos and all this. Like, is that what
For
you
sure,
do
for
and
sure, for
recommend?
sure. In terms of petrochemicals, we can reduce the exposure of them in every single way, right? Like, for example, I have a raw vegan diet. So I don't, my dishes, you just throw water on them and they're clean, right? It's like, it's impressive how less petrochemicals you need in the kitchen. So there's a lot of ways we can reduce petrochemical exposures, but most people don't realize that fruits and vegetables are so rich in these phytonutrients, as we call nutrients from plants, these colors of the tomato or the broccoli or the cauliflower, you know, these phytonutrients actually help to detoxify these dioxins. They chelate these heavy metals. And they also have an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant profile, because these dioxins, these toxins, are actually pro-inflammatory and pro-oxidative. So one of the things that you can do to prevent the accumulation of these petrochemicals in you is actually eating fruits and vegetables. It's pretty impressive. But for sure, paying attention to chronobiology is one big tip to losing weight. We know that mice that are fed at daytime, because mice is actually a nocturnal animal, right? So you have to think that they're the opposite of us. But if the mice is actually fed with junk food, but at night, only at night, he doesn't gain fat. But even he's fed normal food at the day, he's actually more have a higher probability of becoming overweight. So it's not just the food we eat, but the time of the day we eat, that what we call chrononutrition in terms of science. So chronobiology and chrononutrition are two big things. So not seeing light at night and respecting the 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness that nature created throughout evolution. Respecting the times we should eat. It's only when it's daytime. We shouldn't be eating at night. Exercising every single day, because there's no free lunch in nature. People think like, oh, okay, I'm going to walk half an hour 3 times a week and I'm not sedentary. For me, walking half an hour 3 times a week is actually, you are sedentary. Because according to Lauren Cordain, it's like the leader of the Paleolithic diets. I know it's pretty different than us, but still, he wrote some good articles about, he writes some good articles about health. And he suggests that the Paleolithic man actually burns 1,000 calories per day. So that's like 2.5 hours of intense physical exercise per day. So if you're not being really active every single day, you are sedentary. Maybe you're not sedentary, but you're far from being actually active and burning the right amount of calories that your body evolved to burn all along throughout evolution, right?
Amazing.
So chrononutrition, chronobiology, being really active, and for sure there's more to exercise that we can talk in a later interview. Diets for sure plays a huge part, right? Like eating fresh foods, watery foods, fiber foods. There's a lot to talk about nutrients in the foods that actually helps us to burn fat, but I'm not getting to the details. But also, there's other stuff that we can talk about, and like for example, vitamin D helps us to regulate a lot of our genes. It plays with a thousand genes, right? Vitamin D. And we know that obese people are more prone to vitamin D deficiency. So it can actually, I never looked into detail, but we can actually talk, say that if you are vitamin D deficient, if you're not getting enough sun, you're probably not as lean and thin as you should be. Probably vitamin D also plays a big part in getting normal weight, because there's other things that people don't think about the sun. For example, if you're seeing the sun in the right time, you have a higher melatonin levels. So you're going to sleep better at night. You're going to be more chrono-adapted, as we call, chrono-synchronized. So being chronos, because if, for example, chrono-desynchronization, the maladjustment of our biological clocks actually increases the chance of obesity and overweight. So you can have a good diet, but if you see a lot of night lights and you do a lot of things that doesn't synchronize your biological clock, you are going to gain weight. It's impressive. So I talked about the four main things: diet, exercise, sleep. Oh, sleep also is a big factor. If you don't sleep, you're going to lose lean mass and gain fat mass. It's actually a good scientific consensus nowadays. So sunshine, sleep, diet, and exercise, chronobiology, chrononutrition, and I would actually also talk about loneliness, also talk about contact with nature, because for example, we know that a bad microbiota nowadays, it's one of the factors that we gain weight. We cannot maintain weight. So just being out in nature and touching the ground, you can have a better microbiota profile just by touching the dirt. It's impressive. It doesn't even have to do with diet. So there's a lot of tips. But to make it simple, healthful living produces always the results that we want.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Eduardo. And I love that you're also adding, yeah, being in nature and loneliness also. I was watching the documentary on the Blue Zones on Netflix, and a lot of the parameters are, of course, health and exercise, but some of them are also community, love, and I think mindset overall, like low stress level, all this. So the mindset is really important, I feel too.
Yeah, for sure. But we have a better mindset when we are out in nature, when we have a socialization, when we have a healthy socialization. So people don't think of that. Like they think just it's a psychosomatic disease, it's just in your mind. But no, in your environment makes creates your outcome of life, creates your vision of life. If you just see bad things and you hear bad things, and you have a terrible diet and you don't exercise, you're going to become more pessimistic. You're going to see everything worse, right? So it's all connected.
Awesome. Thank you, Eduardo. I'd love to ask you about one thing that a lot of people in the fat loss industry, let's say, recommend that I think people who are on high fruits and vegetables and more natural hygiene, like you and I, often have a different view on, is I see a lot of advice on if you want to lose fat, you want to eat enough protein. And often enough protein in the mainstream view is closer to 20, 30% or 1 gram per pound of body weight. So do you, for fat loss, do you have any recommendations specifically in terms of protein intake?
Low protein intake, it's better for fat loss, that's for sure. Because that's the thing that most people don't realize it. You just don't want fat loss, you want health. Because health, a fat loss is actually a byproduct of health. Because you can have weight loss with ketogenic diets, but it's not a real fat loss, and it's actually not a real way to lose the weight. First, because you're going to damage your health. We know that low carb diets actually increase morbidity and mortality from all causes. So it doesn't matter that much if you're thin, but you're going to die a lot earlier with a lot of diseases. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And the second part is that low carb diets are actually a scam in terms of weight loss. Because most here in Brazil, there's always magazines like saying soup diets lose 5 kilos in a week. And like obese people are like, whoa, let me lose 5 kilos in a week. That's amazing. But actually, what you're losing in terms of ketogenic diets or these soup diets, you're actually losing glycogen. The glycogen stores actually. In a week, for example, I have fasted 40 days of water, 39, right? I lost 18 kilos in 39 days without food whatsoever. So 18 kilos, it's like 400 grams per day, maybe even less than that. So you don't lose a lot of weight. Body fat takes a while to be burned because we are really efficient creatures. In terms of calories, we hold on to our fats really well because 1 kilo of body fat has around 8,000 calories. Our BMR, our basal metabolic rate, is actually 1,300 calories per day. So you have like for each kilo of body fat, you have like 5 days. And most of us have like, five. No, five would be really low body fat guy. Most of us would have like 10 kilos of body fat, So it is a scam talking about losing weight just by doing anything. Sure, you can lose weight through several ways, but if you want the real deal, you have to understand that it's actually through eating real food because, we see a lot of compulsive food behavior nowadays, and that comes from the terrible diet that people have. So when they eat fruits and vegetables, your microbiome is fed, your brain is fed, your cells are fed in the right way, so you don't crave the terrible food. And you maintain the loss of weight and you maintain your health for the long run. So that's my main view of it. For sure, fasting would be the fastest way to lose weight. But we don't want people also fasting. We want people to have good relationship with food. I love one phrase from Doug Graham. He always says, love foods that love you back. Eat foods that love you back. And fruits and vegetables love us back. You can see that when you eat like watermelon, you feel light. When you eat like a barbecue, you can lose weight for sure if you're exercising, like you're getting shredded, etc., in a low carb diet. But through compulsive behavior, because in low carb diets, people always go crazy with sweets. So
Thank you, Eduardo. And if we, how about, so I've seen there are those low carb diet for sure. And then there is also some fat loss influencer that are more having 20, 30% of protein, make sure you get enough protein without going so far into the low carb. So how do you feel about this type of advice?
It depends. For sure, you can have it, because it's quite, as I said, it's multifactorial, right? It's not just one thing that makes you lose weight, but a lot of stuff together. Even health allow us to maintain our weight better, right? Because there's a lot of metabolic, hormonal, biochemistry, microbiota disturbances that can worse the weight loss, right? We know that the microbiota from fat people introduced in a sterile mice makes them fat. Even though they're eating the same diet as their peers, they are being introduced the microbiota from a lean person, from a lean human. He becomes lean, the mice. So we know it's just not about diet. So for sure, people can eat high protein diets, but that actually blocks autophagy. That blocks the repairing mechanism, the longevity genes, as a lot of scientists call, like David Sinclair, etc. So when you eat high protein, you are always in mitogenesis mode. You are always in building mode. And you don't get into autophagy. You don't get into recycling of old cells into new cells. So yeah, for sure. If you have a high protein diet, depending on the calories, depending on the how clean your diet is, and depending if you're exercising, building muscle, you're going to achieve a weight loss, but you're still not going to have healthy eating habits and healthy body function and healthy relationship with the food. But you can do it. You can lose weight and get shredded in a high protein diet, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. How do you feel about having set meal times? Because that's also something I've seen a lot for people. It's like to avoid snacking, you have set meal times. At the same time, I know for me, I actually like to learn to feel my body and eat when I'm hungry. So how do you feel for weight loss about having set meal times?
Yeah, that's also another thing. As the studies on chrononutrition from Sachin Panda and other scientists have been shown that the best times to eat for weight loss is actually during the day. So I would say would be better to have all your meals until the sun sets. That's what I would suggest for people. To have their main, for me at least, I have my main meal at noon, around noon, and I have my supper. I only eat twice a day, right? Because also intermittent fasting is important to maintain a weight loss regime, our getting shredded regime, right? So like I just eat around 5:30 p.m. dinner. And my lunch around noon, and that's pretty much it for me. So, yeah.
I find it a bit hard to manage sometimes because fruits digest so quickly, right? So for me, I feel to feel satiated eating a fruit day, for example. I often end up eating 5 or 6 times a day between like would be between 10 and 6 p.m., but eat every hour or 2 hour almost. What do you think of that?
How long have you been doing a raw food diet?
3 years.
3 years. It takes a while, but your body adapts to higher volumes of food. So for, maybe 13 years now or something like that, 14 years, I have been doing only two meals a day, and it works for me a lot better. And for sure, if you're talking about biochemical parameters for weight loss, if you think about it, the less frequently you eat, the less you raise your insulin levels, because you have to think about it. The body has to process all the food that we're eating. So if you're eating all the time, you're not allowing the body to, because insulin is actually an anabolic hormone. Glucagon is actually a catabolic hormone. So we want to be in fasting mode to be burning fat. Because if we're always eating food, we're always in a storing mode. That I was looking for that word back then. A storing mode. So we want to lower our insulin levels as much as we can. So yeah, for sure, you have a really better diet than like 99% of the planet, like people on the planet, and probably better lifestyle. So that doesn't accumulate. But for sure, I would think it's better and more natural in the long run to make smaller meals, less meals with bigger volumes in the long run. In terms of biochemistry, of weight loss, in terms of biochemistry of health, we have intermittent fasting studies on rats, for example, in mice, that we know that if they're fed isocaloric diets, but they're fed more infrequently, they have better biochemistry profile than those that eat the same amount of calories, but they eat more frequently. In biochemistry profile, I mean like biomarkers like cholesterol, triglycerides, blood pressure, everything that we can measure in a person that tells it is going to live a long life.
Okay, thank you. Also a little question on, do you do calorie restrictions when you advise people on fat loss?
Sorry, I didn't get it.
When you advise people on fat loss, do you advise to restrict the number of calories per day?
It depends, but for sure, for sure. Because when we think into a really natural diet, people are not adapted to eating a lot of fiber and a lot of fresh foods because of the chewing, because of the volume in their stomach, because of the amount of water. There's several stuff that we can talk about it. So when for example, I attended two patients yesterday. And they were all, both of them, I restricted at least 500 calories in their food plans. Why? Because they're coming from a more normal diet, more standard American diet, standard Brazilian diet. So if you put already 2,000 calories of raw foods in their plates, they cannot even eat the 2,000 calories. If you're going for 2,500, and I think there's bad estimates to calorie counting in terms of, modern science. Because if you take a look at Okinawans, they eat like 1,800 calories and they're pretty satiated. They live their whole lives with 1,800 calories. So there's overestimates to the usual calorie counting and the calorie math to do for a patient. But, for sure. I think about restricting calories, but not restricting volume. That's the main thing when talking about weight loss. You can restrict calories, but you cannot restrict volume. You need at least, a good amount of volume of food. So instead of eating bananas, you can eat broccoli, for example. You can even steam broccoli, although I'm a raw fooder. We can find ways for the patient to restrict calories without restricting volume. So he can eat a lot, but still eat low calorie. Like changing bananas for watermelons is a really good strategy, for example, for weight loss.
Yeah, do you feel if people eat fruits and vegetables, but they eat a lot of bananas, for example, they might still not lose weight?
It depends. It depends on where you're coming and depends on all the lifestyle habits. But for sure, you cannot eat watermelon as much as bananas in terms of calories, right? You can try, but that's one of the reasons that's one of the things I'm talking. It's not just about of calories because watermelon is so rich in water that fills you up. And we know that if you want to do a caloric restriction, you can use soups, you can drink more water, because the hydration actually helps our metabolism, and the water also fills up our stomachs. So I don't think people can, for sure, would influence influentiate a little bit, but not as much. But for sure, if the patient wants to lose weight faster and more, a higher amount of weight, he can use the high water content fruits like watermelons and melons, that he's going to have better results.
Fair enough. Thank you. I'd like to open maybe a last chapter in that interview, which is looking at maybe the difference with some of the more mainstream. You talked about Sachin Panda. I think about David Sinclair. I really like Dr. Michael Greger's work. I'm following that guy, Brian Johnson, also. I'm sure you've heard of him. I read Mark Heman's book. And there's like so many different views on longevity and health. There's a lot people agree on, but there's also a lot people differ and have different views. And one of them is, so I know you've been a raw vegan for 17 years. I've also been for 3 years. But for example, Michael Greger is more about the cooked food also and the beans. When I looked at the documentary on the Blue Zone, there's also a lot of beans or legumes. Brian Johnson, he's doing cooked vegan, but also adding a lot of peels. And yeah, Mark Heman, he also recommends a little bit of meat here and there. So why do you choose raw vegan, and why do you think that we struggle to find a consensus in that?
Because they are biased because of their own lifestyle, because of their own practice in their lives. I think that's the main reason that we see so much different, because people are biased. They never tried anything different. They get so used to what they tried, and they are like, yeah, okay, I'm doing the best I can, and I'm doing the right thing. If any of those would try a raw vegan diet for a month in the right way, I'm pretty sure they would be, yeah, now I found it. Now I found it. I think it's just a matter of time for the world to understand that, there's no better diet. The primate diets are the diets that our cousins evolved to eat is actually the best diets that we can eat for anything. It, from fat loss to from weight loss to healthy to health, protecting diseases, better longevity. It's for sure the diets that we evolved for millions of years eating is the diet for getting everything that we want into, one place.
Okay, amazing. Thanks for sharing.
And there's science behind it. I can use scientific articles to suggest any like, fruits and vegetables are better for diabetes, fruits and vegetables are better for weight loss, fruits and vegetables are better for longevity, fruits and vegetables. We have data to support it.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, that'd be really cool to do an interview with both you and Dr. Greger together. Like, have a debate slash conversation because I know he has a lot of scientific papers also on sometimes why some ingredients would be better cooked, for example, and yeah, and that's can be a whole conversation in itself. But I think it's important to see also how we feel, right?
Even him talks a lot about AGEs, advanced glycation end products, but he doesn't get into much of the myeloid reaction end products. There are the cooked food toxins. So AGEs is just one of the 100, 400 cooked food toxins there are. And AGEs, for example, are diabetogenic, proatherosclerotic. They even, they cause all kinds of issues. There are even gerontotoxins. They are toxins of aging. So, I don't think there's an issue to cook food. The only issue is that people love to cook and eat cooked food. So they cannot see themselves without cooking. And they never tried a raw food diet. So they believe they're doing their best. I love Gregor, by the way. I'm a huge fan of his work, but still, he's 10% off of the whole picture. But he gets most of it right. From all the medical vegan doctors, I think he's one of the most spot on.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Eduardo Corazza. It's been really good, and I'm sure we'll have more. So I'll put the links in the description for people who want to follow you and work with you. Thank you so much, and I'd love to give you the last share for this interview.
It will be a pleasure for us to record more. The only last message I would give is I'm getting my word out in English, so I translated my first book to English. That's the Hygienic Fasting Nature Surgery. It's a big book, as you can see. It's more than 200 pages, and I'm really, really how do you guys call stubborn in talking about data. So I make sure I put all the scientific data on the end of the book. We call numerical bibliographical references. So everything that I say that is a scientific data, I put the number on the line, and then in the end of the book, there's the number over there with the name of the scientific paper, the name of the scientist, the name of the journal, the dates, and also the page that was published. So it's available on Amazon in Kindle and print on demand. The book is, I'm pretty sure, it's the most updated and the best book on fasting there is in the world right now about water fasting, right? And even intermittent fasting. But still, besides of that, they can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, all Dr. Corassa Raw Food Nutritionist. And they can follow me on my social media in Portuguese as well, if they talk Portuguese, right? But like, it would be a little bit harder.
Obrigado.
Yeah.
Well, as you brought fasting, I would have a last question for you, which is in the context of weight loss, do you recommend fasting, water, juice, any of it?
Yeah, it depends on the case, because the ideal fast, there's only one fasting for me. It's water fasting, hygienic fasting, as we call it, because not just drink water. There's a physiological rest, there's physical rest, there's mental rest, there's sensorial rest. There's a lot of things to talk about hygienic fasting. But for sure, fasting would be the fastest way to lose weight. But if you're doing it at home and you don't have control of your emotions, of your brain, of your thoughts and actions, and of your foods, you shouldn't be fasting by yourself, because when you break the fast, you're going to eat a lot of bad stuff. You're going to overeat and a lot of bad stuff, and that can hurt you. So to do a water fast, it would be better to be supervised. So yeah, for sure, a juice fasting would be easier for a person to do by themselves. But as a health professional, I cannot suggest people to go fast by themselves. I have to say, you have to go to a medical facility, a medical supervised fasting facility, to be, doing even juice fasting, right? But for sure, depending on the patient, it could be better to do a juice fast than water fast, because if the patient's really sick, he's going through a lot of detox symptoms during the fast. So maybe go easier with a juice fast, and then, in the future, it depends a lot on the case. But I only believe in water fasting, in hygienic fasting, right? as the best way, not just lose weight, but the best way to recover the causes, the neuroadaptation of our brains to start to like real food again, so they can maintain their weight loss forever.
Thank you. Thank you. And I guess people understood by the end now that when we talk about the weight loss, we're actually talking about being healthy and weight loss as a byproduct of it, which is perfect. So there's no compromise. And on the fasting, how about one day a week, for example, on water?
Yeah, for sure. If the person is motivated to do it, it would be good for the health and for the weight loss. That's one good part that you touch on, because people must understand that weight loss is not just about calories in and calories out. It's the biochemistry control of the whole body in terms of microbiota, genes, metabolism, hormones, the endocrine system. There's a lot of things playing into the body to maintain weight homeostasis. So it's not just because people think of weight loss, it's just calories in and calories out. And there's more of enough science to show that that is like counting calories is wrong. It can help, but it's not just that. The calories in a banana, it's not the same as the same calories as in soda.
Thank you. Thank you, Eduardo. And yeah, that was amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you to the listener. And yeah, be in touch with Eduardo if you want to learn more about his work. You can be in touch with me also if you want some support in your fat loss journey. And sending much love to everyone listening and to you, Eduardo.
Thanks a lot, my buddy, my friend. Hope to see you soon again. Hope to connect with you guys, maybe in next Fruitstock Festival. I would love to go another time to US. I went in 2019, and see you guys soon.